The Ark Encounter is a Christian young earth creationist theme park that opened in Williamston, Kentucky in 2016. The centerpiece of the park is a large representation of Noah's Ark based on the Genesis flood narrative. It's 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, 51 feet high. Massive. The Bible notes that Noah used gopher wood, but the modern replica was built out of American cedar and pine, like 1,200 trees worth. There's also another model. They call it Johann's Ark. It was built by Johann Hubers in 2012, and the boat also is a representation and reproduction of the vessel that God commanded Noah to construct in the book of Genesis. This one is 390 feet long, 75 feet high. The ship is huge. It boasts numerous animal stalls and larders and gutters for the disposal of refuse. There's an open amphitheater in the center and a series of labyrinthine stairs leading from deck to deck. And best of all, it really floats. The boat currently sits in the harbor of Krimpen, a small Dutch town along the Maas River. Why did Johann Hubers build the Ark? Quote, "I wanted to spread God's word in the Netherlands. I wanted children to come here, feel the texture of the wood, see the nails, and see that what was written in the good book was true." Specifically, Hubers wants people to recognize the danger of our current age. Quote, "I believe we are living in the end of times," he says. "We're not conscious of it. People never are." In one of his final messages, Dr. Billy Graham was also thinking about the Ark, Noah's, not Johann's. Dr. Graham wrote in Christian Post, "The days of Noah are returning to the earth, and a catastrophe as great and as terrible awaits those who refuse to enter into the Ark of Salvation, which is Jesus Christ." He was referring to the Lord's message found in the Mount of Olives, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 36 and 37, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah are, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Jesus didn't promise to return when the conditions resemble the days of Abraham or the days of Daniel or the days of Paul. He will come suddenly during a period of history representing the days of Noah. In his book, As It Was in the Days of Noah, Jeff Kinley wrote, "Jesus links the historicity of Noah and his ark to the certainty of coming prophetic events and his physical return to this planet." But how? In what ways will the times parallel the times of Noah? So Christ went on to explain in verses 38 and 39, "For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So let's take a deeper look at the comparisons between Noah's day in our own. Dr. David Jeremiah comments, "A word that first comes to mind when I read Jesus' word is cavalier, a dismissive attitude that disregards all the warnings that should be heeded." Notice Jesus was not talking about people doing bad things, just normal things. They were eating, drinking, having weddings, taking life as it came. And all the while that Noah was hammering away and preaching about the danger to come. And like our Lord Jesus, Noah was both a carpenter and an evangelist. But everyone disregarded his message. They considered him a fool. And how long did Noah preach to his generation about salvation from the flood? 120 years. But rather than turning to God in repentance, those who heard him say, "I don't have time to study prophecy. I've got to go to a wedding. We're having dinner over at our house. I've got a career to pursue." Jesus said, the days before the rapture would be just like that. People will continue to live as they have always lived, despite cataclysmic warnings, predictions. They will focus on the present. They will make plans for the future, only to ensure their physical comfort. They will not give thought to the possibility that the prophets were right. Jeff Kinley wrote, "The days of Noah give us a sneak preview of things to come, an advanced viewing of humanity in the last days. The generation witnessing the ark's construction was a God-hating breed. Their kind will return again in the end times. Noah's contemporaries ignored heaven's message and its messengers. They were carried on day after day, year after year, eating, drinking, pursuing relationships, without even the slightest acknowledgement of their Creator or their reflection of their responsibility to him." Luke added this context in the account of the Lord's message on the Mount of Olives, quote, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Luke 17:28-30. We learn something more of the generation of Noah from the book of Hebrews, and where there's the listing of the heroes of the faith, the author wrote, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Chapter 11, verse 7. When God spoke to Noah, the old man believed, being moved with godly fear. He was concerned for his family. His concern and care for the Lord served to condemn everyone else who was careless with the things of God, heedless to things as yet unseen. On a trip down to Orphans Lifeline in Kalispell, I also took a day to explore Glacier National Park. People who have visited most of America's parks often say that Glacier National is one of the most beautiful, a showcase of melting glaciers and breathtaking valleys and alpine meadows and picturesque lakes in northern Montana. But since the park started keeping records back in 1913, a total of 264 people have died there, many of them due to sheer carelessness. John G. Slater was a summer employee of the park in the 1960s, and he recalled that all the workers were shown a film entitled "The Mountains Don't Care," all about the dangers they might encounter at Glacier. But the movie didn't make much impact on him because he was young enough to think that he was bulletproof, that nothing bad could happen to him. But he learned his lesson after a near-fatal experience on Mount Clements. And thankfully, he lived to talk about it, but not everyone is that fortunate. The book Death in Glacier National Park reports, "Supervisors make every effort to impress upon summer employees that Glacier has a wide range of unique hazards, including snow bridges that conceal crevices in the ice, ledges that can give way underfoot, wind-created slabs of snow that can break free and become an avalanche. Warnings often go unheeded, however, in the face of peer pressure. So the problem of carelessness can be seen far beyond Glacier National Park. So many people around us ignore the spiritual warnings of God's word because they feel bulletproof. It's inconceivable to them that anything cataclysmic could happen. Peer pressure seems to be stronger than prophetic warnings. A careless attitude has swept the land, as in the days of Noah. Nor can we miss the corruption that fouled the population of Noah's day. The Bible says in Genesis 6, verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence." So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And then Genesis 6:3 adds, "The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Every intent of his heart, only evil continually. David Jeremiah points out in Noah's day, people had vile imaginations, and that hasn't changed over the course of history. But now we have the technology to put all those images, even worse than what you and I can conceive, on screens, instantly transported to a billion depraved minds with the click of a button. Research shows that over one-third of all internet downloads are porn-related, and nearly 10% of those viewers are under the age of 12. The book of Genesis also describes the violence of Noah's day, and I don't think I need to draw a parallel between that and our modern times. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 3:1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Peter, undoubtedly thinking about what he had heard on the Mount of Olives, said, "Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own hearts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' For this they will willfully forget that by the word of God, the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." 2 Peter 3:3 through 6. Noah's generation, like ours, was cavalier. They were careless. They were corrupt. And for these reasons and more, they were caught off guard. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 24, "As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two women will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left." Verses 37, 40 to 41. People are going to be caught off guard. Can you think of a more vivid way to describe the rapture? Two people working side by side in a field. One is taken, the other left. Two women grinding flour. One is taken, the other left. Two pilots in a cockpit. One is taken, the other left. That word "taken" is the Greek term paralambano. And just 2 days later, Jesus used the exact words in the upper room on the night before his crucifixion. He told his disciples in John 14:3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." I'm going to use that very verse this afternoon in the memorial service. What a beautiful promise that he will come again and receive us to himself. And as for now, that final verse in our text advises, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. As you already know, the rapture ushers in the tribulation. The seven-year agenda of the tribulation is plainly laid out in Scripture. And Jesus will then again return in the second coming, just as the armies of the Antichrist are attacking Jerusalem. The rapture, on the other hand, is unannounced, coming at a time we know not. Warren Wiersbe reinforces this. We are not told what the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven is, but the people on earth at that time will recognize it. When Jesus comes for the church, he will come in the air, and his people will be caught up to meet him there, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But our Lord's second coming at the end of the tribulation will be a great public event with every eye seeing him, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And therefore Jesus said we must watch and wait, be ready. Right now, the door to salvation is still wide open, just like the door of the ark. One of the interesting things about that original ark was the fact that it only had one door. Dr. W.A. Criswell explained, there was not a door above for the birds to come in or a little hole in the floor for the humble creatures of the earth to creep in or a big door for the elephant to lumber in. But there was one door, and everyone that was saved entered that one door. The great eagle swooped out of the blue of the sky and entered that door. The little wren hopped to safety through that door. The snail crawled slowly through that door. Noah and his wife, Shem and Ham and Japheth and their wives, all alike, entered that one door. Again, Dr. David Jeremiah writes, perhaps you've heard stories about Muslims around the world having dreams that eventually led them to Christ. One mission organization told of an Islamic man named Ladi who felt unsatisfied with his life, and he prayed, God, who are you? Show me the truth. And one night, Ladi had a dream in which he saw a very old door. And he opened the door and he saw a man standing behind it, Jesus. Shortly afterward, he found a local church's Facebook page, and it had that very door that he visualized in his dream. And he went to that church. And Ladi learned the gospel. He came to salvation through the doorway of Jesus Christ and found what he most needed in life. Without Christ, most people are living as in the days of Noah, cavalier and careless, corrupt. They will be caught by surprise. At any moment, that door will swing shut. And the Lord will come for his church, his bride, and millions will be left behind. The carpenter of Nazareth and the preacher of Galilee say to you and to me with the amazing grace of his heart, I am the door, I am the way. Come and enter. And there we find what we most need in life. From the Encouraging Word Bible, reflecting on this passage, Max writes, Christians need to be watchful and prepare for Jesus' return because we don't know when it will be. What kind of people should we be? Well, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:11, you should live holy lives and serve God as you wait for and look forward to the coming of the day of Lord. Hope of the future is not a license for irresponsibility in the present. So let us wait forwardly, but let us wait. For most of us, waiting is not our problem. Or maybe I should say, waiting is our problem. We're so good at waiting that we don't wait forwardly. We forget to look. We're so patient that we become complacent. We are too content. We seldom search the skies, and we rarely run for the temple. We seldom, if ever, allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt our plans and lead us to worship so that we might see Jesus. It's to those of us who are strong in waiting, weak in watching, that our Lord was speaking when he said, quote, no one knows when that day or time will be, not the angels in heaven, not even the Son, only the Father knows. So always be ready, because you don't know the day your Lord will come. The Son of Man will come at a time you don't expect him. Simeon reminds us to wait forwardly, patiently vigilant. Not so patient that we lose our vigilance, or not so vigilant that we lose our patience. In the end, the prayer of Simeon was answered. Simeon took the baby in his arms and thanked God. Now, Lord, you can let me, your servant, die in peace, as you said. Luke 2:28. One look into the face of Jesus, and Simeon knew it was time to go home. One look into the face of our Savior, and we too will know the same. If Jesus were to return today, would you be prepared? Selah.